Blog Talk Radio.
The head man of the 76ers,
what the hell is he thinking? I mean, what? I mean, for all these burner accounts, I mean, I don't know if you checked out this story on theringer.com, but they have a real, real deep, in-depth look at this dude. First of all, apparently he's been secretly operating 5 Twitter accounts that has been doing the following. A, criticizing NBA players, including Joel Embiid, Jahlil Okafor, and Nerlens Noel. That's right, his own player, his own star player, Joel Embiid, which he didn't draft, by the way. Sam Hinkie did that, but speaking of which. Two, he debated the decisions of his own coaching staff, as well as criticizing former Sixers GM Sam Hinkie, the author of, quote-unquote, The Process, and Toronto Raptors president Masai Ujiri. I know I butchered his last name, but for those of you who aren't familiar, Colangelo was a former Raptors president, and he was succeeded by his brother.
That's right.
So, combined that with Sam Hinkie, who he succeeded and who actually is getting a little bit of credit for drafting Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, as well as a host of scrubs, i.e., Okafor and Noel. You get the feeling that Colangelo is one insecure cat, especially given the fact that his dad is who he is. He's the main cheese, the big cheese in all of basketball. So they probably figure, he's daddy's boy. He's only got his position because of his pops. Whether it's true or not, it's just dripping with insecurity. Also, he also telegraphed the 2017 trade in which the Sixers acquired the then number one overall pick, Markel Fultz, that would become Markel Fultz. And he also, what was probably the most egregious, disclosed non-public medical information about Okafor and gossiped about Embiid and Fultz to members of the National Philadelphia media. Now, look, I don't know if this is true or not, but, and by the way, since the Ringer mentioned that they received an anonymous tip that Colangelo was doing this stuff. And when you read anonymous tip, that's code for someone who snitched on him.
Exactly.
Who had an axe to grind and snitched on him. But
someone who was in the know that Colangelo wanted to go ahead and snitch.
Exactly. And even though Colangelo admitted to one of the Twitter accounts, mysteriously, two other of the allegedly 5 Twitter accounts actually went to private right after the story broke. And the Ringer didn't even cover those particular 2 Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
This doesn't look good for Colangelo, but let me get your thoughts real quick on what this or what you or who you would call a Bama Colangelo was doing. While being the president of basketball operations, no less. Why are you stupid to shit like this?
Let's see. And you're right. That is the one adjective that I would use for Colangelo in this situation. But, Bama is one that I've used for a lot of things. I've called hot sauce Bama. I've called a cat Bama. I've called a car Bama. So it's one that I overuse, but this one, it really fits, right? Because of the fact that he's gone through. And like you said, not only has he trashed his predecessors, he's also gone through and trashed Bama's. See, once again, there I go. He trashed Bama's who have succeeded him, trashed Bama's that he didn't draft, that he ended up having to be the president of, trashed Bama's that he drafted, trashed the potential Bama's that they were going to draft, leaked information about Bama's that were on their squad that they were looking to deal. And to make it even more interesting, even outside of all the stuff that went on in terms of him talking about the 2 teams in which he was, in which he was the president of, this Bama decides that not only is he going to use these burner accounts to follow the media in those particular cities, which I find to be a snitch sign right there, why don't you go ahead and follow all of them, or at least one major publication in all of the major cities in the NBA, at least, and then some other cities, so people don't follow your trail. But the one that really sticks out is the fact that he was following the basketball team of his son's Twitter account. Really?
Wow.
Come on, man. Oh, man. And then it just continues to get worse. So I just feel bad for this Bama man, because, I mean, I understand, like you said,
I don't.
He's coming off the heels. He is the son of Jerry Colangelo, and you know, of course, there are a lot of people who believe that he got his start potentially as the son of. But, dude, mm-hmm. you've been in the league for over 25 years. You know,
yeah.
I understand that, you know, nepotism does go a long way, but in the NBA, if you're not succeeding, you're not going to keep getting jobs. Well, I take that back.
Right.
There is that does happen. Let me rephrase that. But the thing is, you're not going to continue to get jobs because you're the son of. You know, maybe someone likes you for the job that you've done, the good job that you've done. But unfortunately, man, this Bama just thinks that. I don't even know what to say about this Bama right now, man. Because it's just funny to me that 25 plus years in the game, and you're still insecure.
Right.
You know, we
talk
about KD and we laugh at KD for having burner accounts. And there are other athletes that probably have burner accounts as well. But these are guys, you know, who are in their 20s, who probably have some bravado about them. And I understand it's not to say that bravado ends when you're in your 50s or 60s. But at some point, man, you got to let it go. Let it go.
Dude is 53. He's going to be 53 years old tomorrow.
Yeah.
He should know better than this. He should know better. I mean, look, again, he's daddy's boy. He's Jerry Colangelo's boy. You know, Jerry Colangelo, we all know who Jerry Colangelo is, those of us who are avid basketball fans. He's the man when it comes to basketball. And he's behind the USA basketball being like having this resurgence that they've been having. You know, and, mm-hmm. and the fact that he succeeded a guy in Philly who actually jump-started the process, even like albeit by tanking seasons after seasons, he nailed the last two picks, you know, Embiid and Simmons, and if that wasn't bad enough, and, you know, and now Colangelo's having to Brian has to hear all this credit given to Hinkie, even though Hinkie got his ass fired because. They tanked so much. But he was succeeded in Toronto to add insult to injuries to see in Toronto by Masai. And, you know, of course, you know, you see how great Toronto's doing. So, you know, it probably sucks to be Brian Colangelo most days, even though it shouldn't, given his insecurities and given the fact that, you know, he comes from basketball royalty. But this is crazy, man. And peep this, you know, like today, it's been alleged that his wife may have been the mastermind behind a lot of those tweets, which is just as bad because his wife probably wouldn't know anything about this crap if she hadn't heard Brian say anything. So why would she know about Joel Embiid's medical records? Why would she know about Markelle Fultz? Why would she know about all that? Because probably her husband, like pillow talk. It's probably a lot of pillow talk going on. And let's just say for a second, I mean, she probably was, if she was doing all this shit, she had to find out from some way, from someone. Guess who that someone might be?
Yeah.
Brian Colangelo. Either way, this is not a good look, obviously. I don't think he's going to, I mean, he's lost a lot of trust, particularly with Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Simmons, especially with Fultz. And if you're a general manager from an opposing team, why the hell would you make a deal with this dude? And if you're a free agent, i.e. LeBron James after the season, why would you want to go there? So this means to tell me, man, Colangelo's done. Not only in Philly, but probably in all of the NBA. He's done.
Yeah. And you know what? That was exactly what I was going to say. This is a very pivotal offseason for the 76ers.
Right.
They're just off of this great run with this very young team that they have. They have a lot of money. They have to sign Embiid in order for them to stay at least at this level. Now they're also talking about, of course, getting LeBron James or another high-end free agent in order for that to happen. Colangelo cannot be there. Because there is no way that no one, like you just said, is going to trust this dude in order to be, you know, his boss. And to make it even more interesting, of course, for the tweets that Joel Embiid did see, he liked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's a sign to let whoever did it know that, yeah, I saw these. I saw these. And that's going to, you know, influence my decision, whatever that decision is going to be off season. And for the Sixers' sake, really, you know, they need to go ahead. If I were the Sixers, I will pull a Roger Goodell and just go ahead and fire him tomorrow. Right after game one of the NBA Finals, just go ahead, interrupt the flow of the finals by coming out with this big news, regardless of your investigation. I would Roger Goodell this. Regardless of an investigation, interrupt what's going on, I would just go ahead and fire this dude.
Yeah.
Very
you
Roger
gotta,
Goodell.
You got him the hell out of there. You got to get Brian Colangelo the hell out of there because
if you want your team to get better, you got to.
You got it because Philly's at a crossroads. They are a year or two ahead of schedule, right?
Uh-huh.
They won 52 games in the regular season, on a 16-game winning streak? They're hot, man. They're hot like hot pants. the thing is that that's an old-school reference for y'all. But seriously, this is the Eastern Conference that's going to have a change of the guard. Because it's likely that LeBron James is not going to stay in Cleveland after this season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got Boston with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward coming back to a team that's with a bunch of young studs, man, even though I think one of those guys will probably have to go for playing time reasons, which is a good problem to have if you're Danny Ainge and the Celtics. Then you have Toronto, even though I don't know who's going to do a better coach job of regular season as Dwayne Casey did, but nevertheless, they have lots of talent. Then you got Milwaukee Bucks who are a team on the rise. Then you have Indiana, the Pacers with Victor Oladipo, who's now proven to be that dude, is on the rise. And who the hell knows where LeBron's going to end up. It's changing. The East is changing right before our eyes. So Philly is sitting there, 16-game winning streak to end the regular season. They did a decent job in the playoffs, even though Boston smacked them around unexpectedly. But, hey, we see why. Boston is just good and deep and well-coached. But Brett Brown, the head coach, said to himself, they need another superstar. They're one superstar away from possibly getting over the hump. Why not? Out of LeBron James out there, you have Paul George is out there, who I think will be a better fit, actually, in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a host of others. Kawhi Leonard and San Antonio. The point is that if you are a team like the Sixers on the precipice of a potential run to greatness, even though you have the Celtics in their way right now, they are on the precipice of something big, and you can't have someone like Colangelo still sitting his ass in his office, still on the job after all this has come out, because players talk and players listen and players read. Why would they want to work for a dude, a playable organization like for a dude who is so insecure and so careless and reckless like this? I mean, sharing medical records are confidential to the public like this? Really? He has to go. He has to go.
There's no other way around it. And there isn't.
No, it isn't. But anyway, we'll see what happens with Twitter game. It's always something in the media, man. I swear to God. Anyway, let's go from what's baffling to what should be lopsidedly entertaining, the 2018 NBA Finals. Dude, I'm not even going to spend too much time on this. I think this is an ass whooping waiting to happen. I think that the Warriors, even though people say that they got lucky against the Rockets because they have Chris Paul, but I still thought that the Warriors were the better team than the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And just that for some reason it went to seven games instead of the six or five as I predicted. But nevertheless, it was a great Western Conference Finals. But even though Cleveland did well, even though LeBron James and the boys did well against Boston, winning Game 7 at the Garden, which was like man's game right there.
Yeah.
I don't think they have anything left for Golden State. LeBron, yeah, he's the best player in the world, but it's just LeBron and the four dwarfs. And going against like three, maybe possibly four future Hall of Famers, and Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. They have no shot in hell. And Cleveland was more talented on paper last year with Kyrie Irving. And they got gentlemen swept. So if it goes beyond five games, I'd be shocked. And yeah, I said on my blog post, if Cleveland were to actually win this thing, on top of that, that player should kiss Roseanne Barnum
after. Wow.
Before I took it back, but people were like, "Nah, bro, you gotta kiss that bigoted lips of hers." Oh God, I think my will to live has been sapped away right now. But I don't think I have to worry about it because again, the Warriors should win this in four or five games. Five games time.
They should. But you know what? The Cavaliers are playing a good game as of this minute. But the thing is,
give them time. Golden State will come back and blow their asses out in the third quarter like they've been doing all playoffs. Give it time.
And that's exactly what I was just about to say. The third quarter. If you can't survive that third quarter wave by the Golden State Warriors, then you're not going to end up competing with this team. And that's the thing. I truly believe in order for it to happen, Cleveland has to have a big enough lead. And they have to be able to trade baskets with Golden State. And I'm not necessarily saying threes for threes, but if they can somehow get threes for twos and not take a lot of bad shots, which is something that I would expect for some of the players of the Cleveland Cavaliers, i.e.
Right.
LeBron James, who has a huge basketball IQ, to know that, you know what, if I'm not making shots from this distance, then I need to go ahead and get easy buckets. That'll be the thing. That'll be the way for them to compete. Now, I heard someone say that earlier today that Cleveland can also compete defensively with Golden State. All they need to do is watch Houston's game tape.
Yes.
I laughed when I heard them say that. No, but I laughed when I heard them say that because who on Cleveland is Clint Campella? P.J. Tucker.
Right.
Ed Gordon. You know what I'm saying? Defensively, from what I've seen of this team, they are not the Houston Rockets defensively. Now, the thing is, they're going to have to stay close in games and hope that Golden State makes mistakes in order for them to beat them. I don't see them locking down Golden State defensively. I just don't see it. But they're doing it. They got Golden State at 40 right now, but it's 6 minutes to go. I still believe that Golden State can go ahead and put up at least another 10, if not 12, to end out this half, to at least give them 52. But yeah, you're not holding Golden State, Cleveland Cavaliers, to under 100 points in a game during the series. If they do, I would be shocked. I really would. And that would be the game that Cleveland would win if they hold them under 100. But I don't see it. I don't see this game defensively doing it. Like I said, I didn't see them doing it the entire playoffs. It just happened to be within the Toronto series,
right?
Mentally, Toronto made mistakes, and same thing with Game 7 and with Boston. It just happened to be, with Boston shooting 33% from the field, 17% from three. That's basketball IQ right there. You need to stop taking these threes and start taking better shots. And they were taking horrible shots in the second half against Cleveland, and that's how they won. Boston taking bad shots. And Cleveland was capable of getting a 19-20-point game out of someone not named Kevin Love, and that was Jeff Green. I'm going to need someone from Cleveland to consistently do that. I don't trust them to do that, and I don't trust Golden State to make those type of shooting mistakes throughout the entire series. That's why I agree Cleveland is going down to five.
You know what? Let's go back to Houston for a minute, brother. I'm glad you mentioned them in passing, albeit in passing. What the hell was Mike D'Antoni thinking? You know, especially in Game 7, okay? Houston has, you know, the first half, they dominated Golden State down low. They bullied them. They played football with them all series long, which is smart. But, I mean, you know, halftime is a game of adjustments. It's time to make adjustments. You know, Houston was up by 12. You know, they got that layup from Eric Gordon to end the half. I mean, you know, my dad and I, we were thinking, because I was down in North Carolina over Memorial Day weekend, we were like, oh, boy, Houston's making it look easy. And then, as Golden State does, they make the they made the adjustment, and they came out like game busters in the third quarter. But one thing that you notice is that Houston still took a whole lot of threes. A lot of those threes were contested, and to the point where they went John Starks like from the 3-point line. They went. They missed 27 straight three-pointers. 27 straight three-pointers. You figure out the three-pointer number 12 at the latest, they were like, you know what, let's just go, just do what we did against them in the first half, ban those boys down low. They have no true rim protector, and let's get this lead. And you know, I don't know who was in D'Antoni's ear at halftime. You know, normally, you know, they get the stats again, you know, because they have to make adjustments or whatever, or see what's been working. They had to see all those points in the paint. They had to see all those. They had to see Clint Capella just making highlight dunk at the highlight dunk on those boys. They had to see all. They had to have seen all that. He has to see all that. And what does Mike D'Antoni do? We're going to come out and shoot some more threes. Really? Really?
Exactly.
They had, they had Klay Thompson at three fouls to start the game. And you didn't go back to that?
I don't know what they were thinking when they did that. Exactly. Bad basketball IQ.
Come on, dude. Really?
Bad basketball IQ.
Yes. I will say this.
To quote my friend Tawana Mack, it ain't super wet, take it to the hole.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Houston should have done, and they didn't. And you're right. They looked very Duke Blue Devil-ish. Live by the three, die by the three. And this was a team that, yes, they shot the most three-point attempts in the regular season. They shot more threes than they shot twos this past season. And they thought that was their way of winning. But, bruh, at some point, you got to realize this ain't working, and we're not putting up any points, and they are. We have to take it to the hole. We got to make buckets. And it just it surprised me to sit there and watch this number one seed with the talent that they have not try to go ahead and at least get easy buckets for that length of time. It baffled my mind. It really did.
I mean, it went back to James Harden, dribble, take the shot with 2 seconds left on the shot clock, bad three. There goes Golden State the other way. They're quick two, easy two. Next time, same thing. Dribble. Fast break, pull up three, boom, money. And Houston basically shut itself out of the game, basically.
Yeah.
They shot the way out of a 12-point halftime lead at home in the game seven to those guys. And by the way, when would that throw take a timeout? Is he still not taking any timeouts?
No. He still has three timeouts left from Monday night.
Oh, just terrible. That's just terrible basketball. Terrible basketball.
Again,
I mean, what the hell is he going to do with them all summer? What's he going to do with those timeouts?
Take them to Cancun, you know, take them on a holiday, you know, probably spend them like, you know, Starbucks bucks. Who knows, man? I have no idea. I have no idea. I know what he won't be doing with him. He won't be using him during the NBA Finals. That's what he won't be doing with him.
Exactly. Well, let me get you out on this, brother. Can you give me, can you try to convince me to watch the NBA Finals? Is there a way to convince me? I mean, because, look, we had an exciting NBA playoffs. One of the most exciting, the most exciting NBA playoffs in recent memory. We went on the opening round, second round kind of sore, but the conference finals round was very exciting. It was very exciting. And now we get this. Cavs, Warriors, part four, four straight, which is cool in a way because, you know, we all love dominance, right, in sports. But this is lopsided, man. This is so lopsided. I mean, if Boston had made it, this would have been a six-game series at the very least. If Houston would have made it, you know, with his Cavs or Celtics, it would have been possibly a seven-game series at the most. But this shit here, man, why the hell would I want to watch a gentleman sweep waiting to happen? Just to basically try and convince your boy here to tune in. Why should I tune into this?
There are two great reasons, right?
Okay.
Anti-LeBron reason would be you get a chance to watch this dude catch one on the chin by quite possibly the best team of this decade. And, you know, ever since the inception of the NBA, we've had great teams of the decade, you know, from the Minnesota Lakers or the Minneapolis Lakers to the Boston Celtics.
Right.
To the Lakers and the Celtics in the 80s, to the Bulls, to the Spurs, to the Lakers again, and now it could be Golden State. So this is your chance to see the crowning achievement. This will be, what, their third title in 4 years?
That's
With this team. And then you, especially if you're pro Mike anti-LeBron, this will be, what, the sixth final loss for LeBron James. That'll be a great reason to watch it. Another great reason to watch, what happens if this Cavalier team surprises Golden State? And they do it with this bunch of guys. You know, we've heard LeBron say it for years on other teams or other makeups within either Cleveland or in Miami, that he needs help. I would say, even in his early years, this team is probably, I almost want to say it's as bad as the first run of the Cleveland Cavaliers that went to the finals when he had Jameson and those guys. I think this team is that bad.
Barry Hughes.
Exactly. So, Ilgauskas. So, if this team, which I think may be slightly worse than them, if this team is capable of beating the Golden State Warriors with KG, Curry, Durant, and Thompson, once again, they've beaten this team twice in the NBA Finals. And that's just another jewel in LeBron's crown. And just more fodder for the LeBron fans in their ever-going debate on who's better between LeBron and Mike. And this will be a cap for this particular run as a fourth seed making it to the NBA Finals and doing it that way. So, that'll be your excuse to watch it if you're a LeBron fan. So there you go. Those are the two reasons why I think that you should watch it. Now, me, I'm expecting the earlier to happen for this to go five and this to be, you know, a show. But Cleveland's they're looking very competitive right now in the first half. Tie ball game with 1:04 to go at 53.
Yep.
So if they can continue to play like this, it might be a competitive series. It just happens to be that they lose in five. Now, if it's an ugly five-game series, then, I wouldn't even tune in. Matter of fact, I think that this might be the most lopsided NBA series dating back to the L.A. Lakers and the Orlando Magic when Dwight Howard was in Orlando.
Yeah.
This might be that lopsided. But, you know, I don't even think that series was that competitive, even though that Orlando did win a game, and I think they won that game mm-hmm. in L.A. I could be wrong. But
it was in Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should have won game two.
They should have, exactly. And the thing is, it's a possibility that Cleveland will give us flashes and make you
right.
think that, you know, with the way that they played, It might be competitive, but I just believe that that Golden State is going to end up outplaying them and outlasting them in these five games. And it looks like your boy Draymond has gotten another technical, and of course he got it on LeBron with a hard foul. Of course,
of course he got it.
Of course,
we just lay that out. Of course he got it. Of course it was that.
You know,
we're
not even out of the first half yet, and of course. Draymond gets his first technical against LeBron, so there you go.
There you go. Well,
he couldn't have a series without one.
Right. Well, nevertheless, Cleveland's going to get their asses beat. So, so it is what it is there. But we'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, it does look up for Cleveland. But anyway,
yeah.
Thank you, bro, for joining me, man. We'll do this again hopefully next week.
No diggity. Yes, sir.
All right, peace out. That's my guy, Dwayne Nash. Please check him out on Sleazy Radio here on Blog Talk Radio every week, as well as the /HBCU Sports, where he writes about all things HBCU sports. Thank you for tuning in to Cloud Hour. This is Scott Burke signing off. 06, pray for the Cavs. Good night.